Marilyn Mosby is here in studio with me. She is a former assistant Baltimore City prosecutor. She is now running for the office of Baltimore City State's Attorney, and we're talking about some of the dangerous issues facing us. She really weighed in on this whole issue of public enemy number one and this 19-year-old named Capone Chase, who should have been prosecuted to the fullest extent of the charges that he had, only to see them plea bargain down, Marilyn, to the point, I want to repeat this, to the point where 48 hours later, he is killing. You just heard a gentleman whose son knows this other 21-year-old young man killing someone broad daylight on the playground. And this is just one story of many
that we could point to. That's just one, and there are so many. You can look at Tavon Hammond. That was one of the individuals responsible for the rash and violence. He's now charged with murder twice. If you look at his record, he's been charged with attempted first-degree murder twice. Once where the state's attorney's office steadied the case, and once where the state's attorney's office actually no-pros, meaning dismissed the case. So these are a small group of individuals who are wreaking all the havoc in our communities and who are killing our kids, killing our women, killing. They have absolutely no regard for human life. But again, everybody's doing their job except for the state's attorney's office.
You use the word repeat. They're repeat offenders.
They are repeat, and that's a problem. They shouldn't be repeat. They are violent offenders, and once I'm in office, I intend to go after those violent offenders.
Let's get John on the cell. Good morning, John. You're on with Ms. Mosby and me. Go ahead.
Hi, C4. How are you?
All right.
Good. To me, C4, the problem is sovereign immunity. If the state's attorney's office was responsible for negligence, as when somebody is injured or dies in the private sector, and they might have a different attitude because they would no longer be immune from their bad decisions.
Well, I don't know if you can do that. I don't know who would want the office, Marilyn Mosby, if you did that. But I do get his point. It's as if, you know, these things occur and there's no repercussion, I guess, other than the elected process to deal with them, Marilyn.
I think that is the greatest right that anybody can do. I mean, the greatest right that you have is your right to vote. So they are, you can hold our elected officials accountable and hold them responsible by electing them and getting them out of office.
So, yeah, I hear you, but think about this for a second. Private industry is now responsible, provide security, and can be sued if they don't, because the state's attorney's job is to provide security for the community, isn't. So how can a private individual be responsible for providing security when the people charged to do that aren't?
I hear you, but I say again, John, and I think that the process is pretty much in place. I agree with it. You wouldn't get anyone to really want to do it if you felt at any moment, I think, Marilyn, you could be sued individually for that. I mean, I'm just saying, I hear what he's saying.
No, and I completely understand his sentiment. I mean, because private industry is held accountable, but one of the things that you are as an assistant state's attorney is you're a public servant.
Right.
So you represent the state, and we would pretty much, that would be on the taxpayer's dime if, in fact, we were able to sue individualized prosecutors based on, you know, what happened at trial.
Let's get to Don in Silver Spring. Hi, Don.
Hey, C4. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'd like to talk to a guest.
Sure.
A previous caller mentioned the idea of not allowing plea bargains in violent cases. I read a book years ago. It was called Escape of the Guilty by Judge Ira Fine. I don't know if he's still alive. I have to research it. But he didn't allow plea bargains in violent cases in his court, and it worked. And I suggest that she get the book and read it. And the philosophy, part of the philosophy, it's obviously a lot more complicated than we can talk about in 30 seconds, but part of the philosophy was that by allowing plea bargains, neither the prosecutors or the defense attorneys had to do their job. The prosecutors didn't have to build a case. They knew they didn't have to build a case. The defense attorneys knew that they weren't really going to have to defend their clients. And so the prosecutors overcharged. You know, they would charge first-degree murder when it was really manslaughter or whatever, and they'd end up getting a plea. But neither side would actually have to do their job, and he didn't allow it, and it had a lot of positive consequences for the state and negative consequences for the accused.
Well, Don, let me let Ms. Marilyn Mosby respond, because she's a former assistant prosecutor. I mean, just speak to it from your own experience. What do you say?
And, I mean, you make valid points, but one of the things that you have as a prosecutor is you have awesome discretion. So the judges will make the sentence recommendations and work something out, But you, as the prosecutor, you are the one who elects the charges. So no matter what happens, you know, the judge, whatever he says he's going to give that person, that defendant, if he says, I'm going to give him a suspended sentence, and you can, as a prosecutor, object for the record. I object. This is a violent repeat offender. I'm saying for the record, I don't agree with your sentence. The prosecutor has the election of selecting the charge. And here we go. Once again, C4, you pointed out a really good, you know, example. He was pled down to a second degree assault, which allowed him to be released back into the community.
And commit murder.
And commit a murder 48 hours later. It's unacceptable.
Well, yeah, I would just suggest you try to find the book Escape of the Guilty.
Absolutely.
I think it's ingrained. I think you've ingrained that in her, Dunn. I think she's got. Yeah.
I am. I'm going to go look for that book.
I think she's got Escape for the Guilty. But let me ask you this in a couple of minutes we have left, Marilyn Mosby, and that is the whole issue of, as I mentioned, diversionary types of efforts. You said you were actually working a component of that within the state's attorney's office. But I don't hear enough emphasis. I just heard it last week from the state's attorney. I'd like to hear from you. Is that we have a lot of people arrested for very minor charges, possession charges, to keep them from being embroiled in the system. If we can get them into treatment, I just think it helps the entire situation where they can hopefully get a job at some point in their lives. Just speak to that.
Well, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I think, once again, it goes to the priorities of the state's attorney's office. We have a lot of individuals who are being arrested for mere possession charges. There is a program actually in the state's attorney's office that was implemented under the predecessor, who...
Pat Jessamy.
Pat Jessamy, where, in fact, these drug addicts were able to go through this diversionary program where, if in fact they had a problem, and mind you, this is not the drug distributors.
Right.
These are individuals who really had a problem
with
drug treatment. Mm-hmm. If they did not have a record, they went through a diversionary program. They went through counseling. They went and they had to do a form of community service. And then after the completion of that counseling and after the completion of that community service, they were then, their record was then wiped out.
Expunged.
It was not expunged, but it was no pros. The case was no pros. So that gave them the ability of having the charges completely wiped away. So that was a program that, again, was under Mrs. Jessamy that was highlighted. At this point, I'm not sure if the current state's attorney has that.
He brought it up last week, and I don't know to what status is, but we talked about it last week. But I just wanted to bring it up with you because I really think that if you may also made that a focus, you work with it, it could go a long way towards reducing the dockets that we see with all these charges.
You are absolutely right. I mean, again, the priorities need to be those violent offenders, not necessarily those one-time, first-time drug possessors.
Well, Marilyn Mosby, I think at some point we might have you and a state's attorney come in here and together might be able to talk with you if you don't mind. And I must say also, I want you to say hello to your husband, my councilman. He represents me in the city council, Nick Mosby, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Marilyn Mosby.